Blog Talk Radio.
Beyond the Book Club with your host, Brother Charles Williams, and I'm joined by my lovely wife, Jalavette on the Wheel of Steel. Say hello, Jalavette.
Hello, Jalavette.
All right. What a night.
Yes, what a night.
Such a great one, as always.
Mm-hmm.
tonight. We're featuring, we're in the last episodes of the presentation, The Falsification of African Consciousness, subtitled Eurocentric History, Psychiatry, and the Politics of White Supremacy. And we're in lecture 3 of this series entitled Political Psychology of Black Consciousness. Tonight we'll be reading the introduction to the third lecture, and where he'll just, you know, set the stage, the tenor for this particular installment.
All right, you have Brother Amin online.
All right.
What's up?
What up?
Yeah, we are on page 101. For all of you trusty book club members, I know you have your text ready to your local African bookstore, and or your virtual one online. And after all these weeks have passed, I'm sure you have a copy now. So I have no doubt that even when you listen to this program in the archives, you can follow along and know exactly where we are in the text. Okay.
Mhm.
On page 101. Y'all like the hit? Here you go. Sociopathology precedes psychopathology. Collective pathology precedes individual pathology. That is, disease social interactions between groups generate disease social interactions within groups. And furthermore, disease social interactions within groups generate disease psychological interactions within individuals who are their constituents. The discontents of individuals reflect the discontents of groups, and these, the discontents of the societies and cultures they constitute. The great chain of discontents inextricably binds together individual, group, society, and culture. Now, what does he mean by all of this contention? Anybody have anything to say about that? Okay.
No.
Perhaps not.
I don't.
All right. Well, I'll just go ahead and give a little brief commentary. He's saying the sociopathology, so precedes psychopathology. I mean, you got a deadly society, a society that's ill. Will and what follows that will be you have a sick mind. That's what the psycho means, mind, and pathology is, you know, really deadly, really. Talk about pathogenic bacteria. That's bacteria that can kill. The gen meaning family and pass after the dead. So it's this is a deadly psychology, a deadly state of mind, follows a deadly society.
Mm-hmm.
And the collective pathology precedes individual pathology. So once that sickness is in, which actually the second sentence is a commentary on the first.
Right.
Pretty much explains it for you by saying that. And then he explains it again by the following sentence. He's saying that is disease, social interaction between groups. But pretty much everything, this whole paragraph is a commentary on thesis statement. And therefore, no, that's how you understand that. Right on?
Right on.
There you go. The character and conduct of groups and individuals, however labeled and categorized, whether judged to be good or evil, superior or inferior, are the products of historic intergroup, intragroup, and interpersonal relations, and can only be meaningfully understood in terms of relations. Of these relations, excuse me. The character and behavior of African American individuals, whether labeled normal or abnormal, can only be fully and accurately comprehended along with the process and purpose of labeling itself. In terms of the historic power relations between dominant European Americans and subordinate African American groups. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you hope you're feeling them. Anybody have anything to say about that? You can press 1. If you listen on the browser, you have a comment, you can dial So it was at 323-580-5707, right?
That's it.
That's it. Hopefully you follow along with the text, and you'll be able to, you know, share your insights from there. What is it saying? Okay. Anybody have anything to say about that passage again? If you'd like for me to...
Go.
Nope.
Okay. White domination and black subordination involve special types of social power relations constructed predominantly by whites in order that they might receive certain material and non-material benefits thereby. These social power relations involve social practices and processes which mediate the white American socio-economic, socio-political, socio-psychological manipulation and construction of black consciousness and behavior. Under white supremacy, black consciousness and behavior are socially manufactured, labeled, and judged by whites in ways consonant with their social control and expropriation of black natural and acquired human resources. The normality or abnormality of black consciousness and behavior are so classified with reference to the degree to which they support or oppose to the continuity of white supremacy. Okay, everybody, y'all follow along?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So in other words, they just judge, you know, whether you normal or abnormal based upon your support or opposition of white supremacy.
Right.
So they say you crazy, you're opposing it, you are abnormal.
Right.
Normal, sane, if you support it.
Right.
Right. There you go. Okay. Normal black consciousness and behavior under various regimes of white domination are characterized by habitual thought patterns and behavioral tendencies which render them pliable to white authoritarian / authoritative social control with minimal resistance, which induce blacks to accept their subordinate status as natural, perhaps actually to misperceive their oppression as freedom. Abnormal black consciousness and behavior under white supremacy involve habitual thought patterns, behavioral tendencies in blacks which make their social control by whites intolerably difficult and or ineffective, which induces them to protest, resist, and reject their subordinate status as destined or natural, to perceive their oppression as non or unfreedom. If you don't consider yourself free, living under white supremacy, free enough to vote for a black hand puppet of any for any political office, are free to worship or conceptualize spirituality in a fashion that is agreeable to white supremacy,
mm-hmm.
You can't do that, then you are crazy. So, way to do that is try to get away from white supremacy, or get rid of white supremacy, or agree with it to be sane under any of the circumstances presented. You know what I'm saying?
And that's not only a concept that is practiced institutionally, that's also a concept that's practiced within our own community on ourselves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. We practice it on ourselves after having been indoctrinated.
Right.
And that's what our people can't.
And that's how we keep the system going.
Right.
We actually sheepdog ourselves.
Right. We sheepdog ourselves because we have been taught how to think, how to conceptualize, what to imagine, what we can't imagine, everything. We've been given our limits. We've been told what freedom is. Freedom is not working on a farm for zero wage, and not being obligated to loan our wives to a European for sexual favors.
Mm-hmm.
That is the extent of freedom for a black man as defined by the white man, for the black man.
Mm-hmm.
when a black man starts talking about different ideas of freedom, well, freedom to me means all these other things, just like what you do, Mr. European, which is, you know, white supremacy / white sovereignty, then all of a sudden something is wrong with that black person.
Mm-hmm.
You say, oh, they say that guy's going too far, he's a racist. But if I'm a racist for some point to do something positive for my people, then they're racist. Of course they're racist. That's what they do. So they're saying it can only be one racist in this nation.
That's right.
They're saying that's me. I'm the only racist around here. And matter of fact, you better not call me a racist. Because I don't like the way you think negatively of racist, so then don't use that term when you apply it to me.
Because
mm-hmm. it was okay for a white person to be racist as long as, you know, it wasn't a negative, you know, tone to it.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as we think negatively, because it's very important to the European how he's considered in the mind of the African.
Absolutely.
He knows that. He knows that you must not think lowly of him, because if you think lowly of him, then you will resist his domination.
Right. That's why at one time you couldn't say that they owed you money. You couldn't say that whatever they said was not true. You know.
Right.
You couldn't do those things.
Right.
Because he made sure that he was always seen, at least publicly, in the best light.
Right. He must be perceived as right and not negative in your mind. Even if you think they try to, you know, punish that thought if they detect it.
Right.
That's what they have to do to maintain their dominated stranglehold on people of African descent.
We just saw that recently. Recently, with the Secretary of State, did that. She made a comment about the Chinese, and she said the Chinese were making an effort to dominate Africa by coming into Africa and buying up land and buying up businesses. And this in Europe and the United States have been buying up land and buying business.
Right.
Why are the Chinese, you see what I'm saying, the Chinese are doing something wrong, and just like
right.
you said, they nobody else has the right to exploit because they'll point it out. But what they're doing is not exploitation. What the Chinese are doing is exploitation.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, you can't, right.
When they're both actually doing the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And they've been running that type of mind rape on us since we've encountered them. And until we can understand better, it won't work. It's just that simple.
Right.
In next paragraph, we're in the second paragraph on page 102. From the vantage point of the continuity of white supremacy, the basis for the labeling of black consciousness and behavior by whites as normal and or abnormal depends not on the discovery by whites of discrete states of consciousness and their correlated behavioral tendencies in blacks, but on the discovery of the degree to which black consciousness / behavioral tendencies are perceived as serving or disserving their hegemonic interests. Can we just say that?
Right.
I read this book like 4 times, but you know, not like I got it memorized. And
mm-hmm.
don't. But right. It really matters to them, you know, how things are perceived as serving or disserving their interests, and they are on that. They do not. White people do not mess that up. They know, like clockwork, what's supposed to happen, how events, one thing should follow another, what effects should follow a particular cause. We the ones that don't understand the process consciously.
Mm-hmm.
We all unconsciously understand it.
Which is actually, on a very basic level, is self-preservation. That's what we're fighting. We're fighting to regain basic
instincts,
right, for self-preservation.
Right.
A call, if you want to take it right now.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead, Chick.
All right, welcome.
Hello?
Welcome
to African Knowledge Beyond the Book. You're live, 646.
Hello?
Hi, we can hear you.
What's Kenny G?
Oh, well, what's going on? This is Kenny Glover. How you doing?
All right, we got you. We know you, bro. What's up?
How's it going?
Hey, it's going. Everything's going all right and everything. Nice to hear you guys. I had a question in the comments to Charles. Or
all
anybody
right.
On the panel. And that is my comment. Well, the first statement that I wanted to make is that I think that as far as the psychology of the white man, Caucasians, is concerned, is that for the reason of their aggressiveness is that they understand that every empire, learning through from history, that every empire has fallen, that it never lasts. So they are trying to create a fail-safe system for themselves by gaining control over the whole world and natural resources and continents and just like the whole geographic the land of all parts of the world, so that when they empire do fall, when they dynasty do meet its demise, they will have a fail-safe system because they own everything. So they have an understanding of that. But my question is to you, Charles, is I think, let me ask you something. White people are so aggressive and naturally nasty towards people because they don't own everything. They don't come from Australia. They don't come from the Americas or the Caribbean. And they have land that they need to gain in the Middle East. And it's only until they get this land that they become friendly when they get this. Now, my question is to you, like, let's say if they were the indigenous people of these countries and land all over the world and they was there from the beginning, all that would be left for them to do is to just defend it. Do you still think that they would have that nasty, aggressive attitude towards people if all of the lands was theirs from the beginning?
Yeah, I can hear you, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because let's look at Europe. They have dealt with us colonizing them in the past.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost. I mean, we held them. The only thing that freed them was the rise of the Roman Empire. We know when Rome defeated Carthage in the 3rd century B.C., Carthage had holdings in what we call Britain, Spain, France. The Egyptians were mining tin at the same time as the Carthaginians were. They were the sailing open sea. So what I'm getting at is that they've been invaded, conquered, colonized, and right. You've seen the Habsburgs, the original Habsburgs are black, and all these other dynasties over in Europe, and they weren't vicious at that time.
Right.
They were. I mean, not all tribes. Some tribes were vicious. We do know, like, the, what's the, Scythians were very vicious. They used to eat people in the battlefield. Or Scythians, or however it's pronounced. So there were vicious, more animalistic tribes of European warriors, and some more civilized. But I think that whole aggressive desire is an imperative, a charge. Impetus they have to subdue the planet, master it, and hold it in perpetuity. Now, the fact of the matter is they will not hold it in perpetuity.
Mm-mm.
But they're prepared to fight anything, whether it's God or man.
Right.
That's what they're trying to prepare themselves to do, because they know that man, the empires don't go on forever.
Right.
But them trying to not give up their time like they're supposed to, and
right.
And that. But the horrors that they have committed during their reign are incomparable to any other reign of any other people. Nobody else has committed the level and intensity and the broad scope of horrific atrocities on the planet, peoples, nature, the environment itself, is that they have been totally demonic.
All right, and the tail end, I just wanted to make a tail end comment to my opening, and that's towards the black people today. That black people abroad. That I think that a lot of us are not really fully educated on what's at stake. You know, what's at stake. What's at stake of what we have and what belongs to us. I think that, as I start to go on with the being educated and learning every day and being abreast about the information about blacks and, you know, and our origin, I learned that this is mine, you know. So when I see, like, a lot of Jewish people with jewelry stores with jewelry in the shop behind the glass, I understand that that's mine. It comes from Africa. It comes from the Americas. And I think that a lot of people, you know, don't realize that and know what's at stake. You understand? So that's why we may have that receptive, like, you know, that attitude more often times. You know, you understand what I'm saying? Because it's like, you know, the animals, when we go to the zoo and we look at a lion, we understand that, you know, that's my lion. You understand the woods and the cedar trees, everything, the oranges, everything belongs, because he never cultivated or agricultured anything. So, you know, a lot of people need to get hip on it.
All right, I was saying, need to get hip that the things in the possession of the Europeans are largely stolen. They possess stolen property. The homes are stolen. Everything that the house they build are possessed from stolen trees, created from stolen trees, stolen, you know what I'm saying? Stolen minerals, stolen earth, stolen animals from our stolen continent. Right.
Yeah.
Everything in their possession is hot.
Right.
Stolen people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You got it, brother.
Got it. Thank you.
You're welcome, man. Appreciate it. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We're on third paragraph on page 102. Disturbances of thought, emotions, motivational and values, priorities, and psychological processes in blacks are the unavoidable outcomes of their oppression by whites. To be oppressed is by definition to have one's thought processes disturbed, emotions impaired, motives and values inverted, and one's body functions imbalanced. There can be no normality of consciousness and conduct for blacks as long as they remain dominated by whites. Merely socially acceptable or unacceptable adjustments to the ever-changing demand characteristics of white supremacy. The normality of blacks under white domination is, by that circumstance above all, a pathological normalcy. Disturbances in black consciousness and behavior which are deemed serviceable and beneficial to the needs of their white oppressors. You gonna make the announcement?
Okay. We have just a few minutes left in this broadcast. Greetings and good evening to everyone in the chat room and those listening on the browser. If you'd like to hear the remainder of this broadcast, you'll need to call in at 323-580-5707. Otherwise, you can hear the last few moments in the archive. Again, the number is 323-580-5707.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was a lovely enough.
Praise the Lord.
I'll say it again. Just
to everyone in the chat, come on.
All right. So that, I mean, that was interesting. He said this, and which I was a book club member, pretty much everybody online knows this, but just for the people who are listening to the archive at a later date,
mm-hmm.
He's saying disturbances of thought, emotions, motivational values, priorities, psychological processes. Meaning, you know, when you go crazy, your thought is disturbed, you're emotionally unstable, your aspirations, I mean, what he's saying, the motivation and values, priority, I mean, the fact that black man isn't trying to get true freedom, that is sovereignty for his nation, for his people of his own descent, is the outcome of having been oppressed by the type of oppression that the Europeans have given us. The fact that we don't want nothing more than to live in this kind of subservient, victimized condition that we can, that only thing we aspire is to be treated civilly. What the hell is that? You want to live in a nation and you got to ask them to treat you like some treat you in a non-cruel manner.
Right. That's what I'm always saying about personhood. People talk about how you have to fight for this right and for personhood and for this and first one thing, you know, and another. Once you have to go and beseech someone to bestow upon you that which is already yours, then you then are giving them power.
Right, you're giving power.
Saying that they have that thing that is, you know what I mean?
Right, they have the power to give it back to you.
Right.
Instead of saying, that person is a criminal for having robbed me of the perception because it's mine. I create the personhood.
That's right.
By exercising personhood. By treating myself like a human being and then not allowing someone else to not treat me like a human being.
That's it.
That in itself, but those people who you just, I know the program you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
they want, those people want to submit to the oppressor.
Right.
They want to go and bow and pray and prostrate themselves and say, could you please treat us better? You know, I know it's hard trying to deal with some dumb niggas. Well, can you please just tolerate us and treat us, you know, not like, you know, not stop killing us so badly. Can you kill like about 30 of us a year instead?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's what they doing. And they don't mind doing it. They actually like it because it absolves them of their duty to actually be better people, to become better people.
Right.
And they can stay piss poor, sorry as they are, and just hand their, have their cups out and say, beg alms for civil rights.
Right.
And right. Instead of creating the power necessary by transforming the culture, transforming the individuals who, the individuals that make up the society, and then having that greater faith to create a new kind of society.
Right.
They don't want to do that.
Well, I don't think it's that bad. There's a, you know, there's only one black person killed every 36 hours by the police.
Right.
And if you think about it, that's not even one a day.
Yeah.
So
they could
really
be doing a lot better.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, as long as it's not me, I could just keep going on like this forever.
But once it's my family member, then it's time to light some candles and sing some songs and hold some signs. And we should do something already.
That's right.
That would be an atrocity if it happened to one of mine.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we wonder why other nationalities look to treat us like we're stupid. Because that's stupid. We do that. We think it's normal. Because we're the mental patients.
Mm-hmm.
People are the mental patients. You know, and we understand we crazy. We know we've been crazy through the process, but the problem is we want to hold on. We were sitting there telling people, talking to people about not admiring their law, holding their legal system in contempt. That concept alone drove some people just like to revulsion. They said, I will not hold Master's system in contempt and his system of law.
Right.
I will reverence it with the highest esteem of law, order, and civility as possible.
Right.
I'm like, okay, well, that kind of reverence is going to keep you in their position. Well, so be it.
Somebody has to be in charge already.
Right, and it's obvious that I'm not fit to. Well, make yourself fit to, because if you have sense enough, you will want to exercise your right to even misgovern yourself than to have a foreigner tyrannize over you.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather run my business into the ground and have my foreigner come and telling me what to do, my oppressor. That's no right. Europeans don't want to let the black man teach him how to take care of the earth and govern him. He said, no, I'll just tear it up, and I get to be in charge.
And you know, one thing that Wilson says that a lot of black folks don't you know, visualize in their head, the European doesn't have the authority to govern over anybody.
Right.
He just took the authority. We he took the authority, and we just go with it.
We acquiesce.
He has absolutely no authority to do anything. But we think in our mind that he has the authority to do these things.
We see all the time. We see that where people will, they'll go into places. You'll see on these different, you know, reality type shows. They'll go into places and just act like they work there or that they are an authority figure, and they will get people to just acquiesce, fall in line, and do what they ask. And they're just actors.
Yeah, they just obey them.
People just obey. Oh, you seem like you're, you know, it's, okay. All right, well, what should we do? Right, and so that's what we do. That's all they've done, is they walk in and they have in their minds that this is what they should be doing, and they're doing it. And we say, okay.
Why? Because they've trained us well.
Right, and so when we're saying, no, no, I won't follow you, I don't agree with what you're saying, you do not have that authority, then we're looked upon as he was talking about in the Dr. Amos was talking about, we're the sociopath.
Right, yeah, you're abnormal.
We're the sociopath. Like, no, they're the sociopath.
What's wrong with you?
Right.
I saw one of last speeches interviews given by Gaddafi before the President Obama murdered him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about the Security Council, and he said nobody should listen to the Security Council. Everybody needs to start ignoring the Security Council. They have no authority to do anything.
Right.
We just give them the authority by continuing to listen to them.
It
didn't work out for him, but you know that's what he said.
He tried to help him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. We'll read just last. This is just one paragraph left, and we'll just chop it up until we run out of time.
All right.
We're on page 103. Everyone following along the text. It says normality is as much a political economic concept as a psychological social concept. As a political / economic construct, it is the result in a large part of the interplay of intergroup, intragroup, and primary group social economic power relations and practices which have been exercised on the bodies of persons. Normality is born of phallic systemic methods of rewarding and punishing behavior, ritual practices, and indoctrination, training, correction, supervision, and constraint. As societies change, so do their fields of power relations, methods of socialization, and concepts of normalcy. Paraphrased, the normality which inhabits a person and brings him into coexistence is itself a factor in the mastery that those in power exercise over that person's consciousness and behavior. Normality is as a function, state of being, as circumscribed set of states of consciousness and their correlated behavioral tendencies is the effect and instrument of dynamic political economic relations. The term norm is in essence a principle of coercion, a constraint on behavior, a rule to be followed. It involves the establishment of a set of values or standards, a range of behaviors to be respected, which must be achieved through conformity, reinforced by social sanctions, rewards, and punishments. Normalization, the process of using the values of the norm to compare, differentiate, hierarchize, homogenize, to determine the level and value of abilities and the nature of persons and groups, to exclude, to mark the frontier of the abnormal, and thereby ration power, privilege, and favor, is one of the great instruments of power wielded by those who rule and dominate others. Hence, under white supremacy, the normality of blacks is to a significant extent both the effect and instrument of white power. For the subordinated African, normality is the prison of his mind and body. That's the end of the introduction.
All right.
That was super awesome. I tell you.
I enjoyed that.
He broke it down.
Nice, Charles.
Hello?
All right, Kenny. Kenny said that was nice.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Y'all still can hear me?
Yes.
I'm still on? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Basically, telling us how, you know, normality is political economic concept, you know, just as much as it is psychological and social. So how they build up normality, how they organize, and how they tell us what is normal in terms of how black people should relate to each other, how black people should relate to whites, and how white people should relate to each other. They tell us, so when I relate to my black brothers and sisters in terms of power, I create power with you by agreeing with you to respect you, to respect your sovereign right to exist, to have wealth independent of foreigners, ability to control and determine how much wealth we should have. We have just created an enormous amount of power by that contract that we can create between one another, and not allowing the foreigner, that is European in this case, as in most cases, not allowing those persons to be able to tell us, dictate to us how we should relate to one another, how we should function in relationship to them either. By us doing that, we are behaving abnormally. But that abnormal behavior is what we need. That's what we need to survive and to create, I would say, sovereignty or a black sovereignty or a control of our destiny, control of our future, and that is weakening white supremacy. There is no white supremacy as they know it today with us behaving that way. And they would rather know it the way they already know it and not know it any other way or any way that is less powerful than it is already. Y'all
right.
Follow along?
Follow. Check.
All right, that's your time.
There you go. All right. Well, next week we will discuss labeling as social control in this third part of this lecture. On page 104, we'll pick up there next week. So you all stay black, stay strong, and you know, shalom, peace.
Peace.
Okay. All right. Bless up.
All right. Bless.
All right.